Nice to see you all here today. Pardon me? I can't hear her. It's great to be here, yeah. Yes, hallelujah. Welcome. Nice to see you today. Hallelujah. Mick and Jess and the girls. Nice to see everybody here today. Welcome our phone church family and also our live stream. Thanking the Lord for all that he's doing and all that he's going to do, right? This picnic Sunday. It's going to be real hot outside. Thank the Lord. There's no rain. Thank the Lord. The air condition is inside. Thank the Lord. And if you need to get revived, feel free to come inside and eat in here. Eat in the blue room. Hallelujah. Judges chapter 17. And verse 10. Then Micah said to him, "Live with me and be my father and priest, and I'll give you 10 shekels of silver a year, your clothes and your food." Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, that we can come and be in this place today. We thank you for your hand, Lord God, that leads us and guides us and directs us and protects us. And Lord God, I pray right now that you will bless everyone that hears your word this day. In Jesus we pray it all. Amen. I want us to look at today, salvation is not for sale. Salvation is not for sale. God's message is not for sale. It's not. Thank God it's free, right? It is not a commodity that can be packaged and priced. It can't be. Yet our world system never quits trying to make it so. In Judges chapter 17, looking at verse 6, we find the pitiful words. And these are the words that we find. In those days, there was not a king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Boy, isn't that like today? Israel had fallen below what they once were. And this chapter gives to us evidence of the deterioration of the Israelite society. In these verses, we find a man called Micah. He was from Ephraim and the mighty warring tribe of Israel. They had fallen below what they once were. And here in Judges chapter 17, we have a greedy mother and a dishonest son. Both were superstitious, and this story of Judges chapter 17 illustrates the strange blending of greed and also false beliefs, which is, of course, observed in those people who have lowered themselves to a worldly habit of life without entirely losing the influence of religion. At this time, in Judges chapter 17, the religion of Israel is now degraded. And its results are seen in a corresponding devaluation of morality, of ethics, of morals, of goodness. Great faithfulness to a suspicious or superstitious religious system is not in agreement with a very depressive tone of moral life. It is seen here, of course, in Micah's mother, tempting to deception, if not complete dishonesty on the part of the son, giving rise to unseemingly temper and blind cursing on her own side, to have as one's intended meaning, and also unworthy attempt at restoring the family's peace by a compromise. That's what she was doing, by a compromise between selfish greed and religious devotion. 200 shekels only are devoted to the image that the son wanted to make. Though Micah had intended for all of it to go to that project, the remaining 900 shekels are retained by the mother. Treated, it's there. The same moral lowness is seen in the unworthy conduct of the young man. He shows no confidence in his mother at all. No confidence. He thinks he can honor God with the proceeds of deception. A popular entertainer years ago, back in the mid-1950s, described the same thing in a song that goes like this. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go, I owe my soul to the company store. Tennessee Ernie Ford sang that song back years ago. The gospel church of Jesus Christ can never be the company store. Never. It can't be that. The heart of the matter is this. It says it in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. What are these things? It's salary, it's clothing, it's groceries, shall be added unto you. Wow, isn't that great? You cannot seek all these things and add it to your convenience, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It just will not work. You must have a salvation stronger than a theory, stronger than a philosophy. There's a lot of theories and a lot of philosophies out there. There must be a blood relationship, which is, of course, the evidence of God's responsible care for each and every one of us. Hell devotes itself to destroy this life that we call trust today. The path of spiritual authority is a walk of faith. It is a walk of faith. In the frontier days, a pioneer would say these words, I am beholden to no man. I am beholden to no man. Which means he was a free man. Which means also he was no man's slave. Wow. Paul tells the Corinthians this in 1 Corinthians 3:23, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. The world system, think about it, the world system tries to put a mortgage on your soul. That's what it comes down to. Church, let me tell you something. Salvation is all or nothing. All or nothing. There are no partial, no halfway measures with God, right? We understand that. Moses and Pharaoh had a wrestling match about that. Pharaoh pressed for a compromise. In Exodus chapter 8 and verse 28, it says this, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. And this is what Moses said back to the oppressor in Exodus 10:9. We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go. Go to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. I want you to look at verse 26. Our livestock, two must go with us. Not a hoof is to be left behind. We have to use some of them in worshiping the Lord our God. And until we get there, we will not know what we are to use to worship the Lord. Wow. Wow. No one, think about the church, no one can have one foot in the church and the other in the world. It will not happen. It cannot happen. They try, but to no benefit. It won't work that way. If you can't trust God now, you will never trust Him later. If we can't trust Him now. David said this, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. The unemployed Levite. The unemployed Levite of this story in Judges chapter 17 said, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I find a place. Church, we are not for hire. You ever see that on the big trucks, you know? Not for hire. Elisha made it this very determined, this determination goes to 2 Kings chapter 2. Second Kings chapter 2, starting with 13. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. Wow. Wow. This world doesn't have anything to offer us. That would have been a good time to say amen. This world, church, think about it. This world does not have anything to offer us. Do we understand that God is a very present help? When you think of how God has made us, when you think of how every intricate part performs to its highest best, we then understand the living act performed by the Creator who cares. Salvation can be summarized in two words. I know. I know. I know. God offers us an opportunity to know. Did you know that hell can do nothing about Calvary or the open tomb, the empty grave? It can't. They are facts. That's real. Church, I believe it today that hell's target is to destroy our faith. There is a subtle attack on this. Hell constantly says, can you really trust God? Don't withdraw entirely from the world system. That's what it tells us. But in Judges chapter 17 and verse 10, dwell with me and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year and a suit of apparel and thy victuals. The devil says this, church. We can always use a good man and woman. Don't worry. That's what the devil says. That's what hell says. Don't worry. Leave your future in our hands. It's an old time tester. Accept it and you lose everything. Wow. Look at what Paul said to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 10. It says this, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings? Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Wow. Wow. The Levite had a pledge of commitment. They were to be separated, to look towards God alone and only to Him. The man in our text had other ideas. Look at Judges 17, look at verse 8. Left that town in search of some other place to stay. On his way, he came to Micah's house in the hill country of Ephraim. Wow. He decided there was nothing more favorable than to do what he was doing. He thought that was it. He felt the things of God should never get in the way. That's what he thought. The things of God should never get in the way of the world system. It was no longer God's will for his life that was prominent. There is a difference, church, between God's leading for your life and looking to man. Hallelujah. The Levite in this story, he lost his goal and he lost his soul. And according to Judges 18:19, he knew where advancement lay in his chosen profession. He knew it. He was quick to realize the advantages that were offered. His loyalty became a question of the highest bidder. So will ours, church, if we place things before God. God and greed cannot dwell in the same heart. God and greed cannot stay in the same heart. Salvation is total dependence upon Jesus Christ, right? Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. There's not one moment or one experience when I do not need His help. I need His help every day, every time, every month, every year. In Acts chapter 17:28, it sums it up. In Him I live, I move, I have my being. In everything that I do, it's Him. We can't make it by ourselves. He gives us help all the way, right? He gives us help, right, Doug? He gives us help all the way, every day. The important factor is to know Him, far more important than knowing about Him. There's a lot of people that know about Him, but they don't know Him. The song says it. We've sang it many times over. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Wow. How did Micah sell his salvation? Very good question. These verses in Judges 17 show us that the corruption, the moral, the chaos, and the deterioration of Micah's family. He sold his salvation when, number one, he coveted and stole his mother's silver, and then he lied about it. Wow. She obviously, mom was a very wealthy lady. For some reason, he felt that some of the money was due to him. He felt that it was in his inheritance that was to eventually, he knew was going to be his. But whatever the case, he first coveted the silver. That's what he did first. And later then, he lied about it. So he broke what? The Ten Commandments. How did Micah sell his salvation? Number two, Micah dishonored his mother. That's what he did. Which is another commandment. Honor your father and your mother, right? By stealing from her, he showed dishonest and he showed disrespect. He deceived her, and the mother failed to discipline her son. Look at verse 3, 17, Judges. When he returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, he said, "Solomon, consecrate my silver to the Lord for my son to make an image overlaid with silver. I will give it back to you." Wow. She pronounced, really, in a sense of the way, she pronounced a curse upon the thief. And Micah overheard it. And he was the one who stole it. And guess what happened? What always happens. Fear gripped his heart. He did confess he stole the money. He did confess it. Which he should have, right? Just go like that. Yeah, that's good. He should have confessed it. But his mother, look what she did to him. His mother blessed him instead of correcting and disciplining him. What? Surprisingly, she not only blessed him, but she gave the gift of 200 pieces. Oh, son, it's just a blessing that you stole this money. Now I'm going to bless you. What? Wow. How much did Micah sell his salvation? Or how did he do it? Number three. Both Micah and his mother engaged in false worship and also false idolatry. She took the money that belonged to God and gave it to her son to make an idol. And he placed it in his own house. How stupid. So how did he sell his salvation? Number four, Micah and his mother lived secular, self-centered lives. They did what verse 6 says. They did as they saw fit, doing whatever seemed right in their own eyes. That's what they did, church. That's what happened. And in closing, if Jesus Christ only means to you 10 shekels of silver and a suit of clothes and some food, you haven't got much at all. If that's all salvation means, right? You haven't got nearly enough to deliver you from the sin and the habit of evil. You are a long, long way from that abundant entrance that Peter there describes. Your comfort on earth means more to you than your gain in heaven. No, salvation is not for sale, church. It is not for sale. Christ put no price on what he did for you and I. 2 Corinthians 6:10, it says this, as poor, yet making rich. Wow. Wow. So the strength of my redemption is the great eternal heart of God. That's what it is. He loves me. He loves us. And the answer to my own soul is this. Do I love him? Do I love him? Jesus is still asking the question in John 21:15. Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? And that is where we leave our question today. And we say the same thing. How much do we love him? How much do we care? How much are we concerned? A little 200 pieces of silver. That's what it took for Micah. How about us? Shall we bow our heads? Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for this day. Father, I ask right now that you would help us. And Lord, for the ones that are listening by phone and by live stream and here in this sanctuary, Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, that we would not sell out our salvation for just a little bit. But Lord, I pray that you'll minister. Lord God, maybe there's some that may think here today that might say, boy, I think I've sold out my salvation. I did the same thing as Micah did. And I need God's help. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're here and you'll say, I'm that one. And as you raise your hand, we want to pray for you. If there's anybody in this place. Father, I thank you and I praise you. And I glorify you. That, Lord, as we are here in this place, that you have reminded us today that our salvation is not for sale, not at all. Satan will do everything to convince us that it is. But Lord, we know that it isn't. You paid the price for us. And Lord, we're in it for the long haul. Till you take us home. Or you come back for us. We're in it for the long haul. Father, I pray your blessing upon these people today. And I ask, Heavenly Father, that you will touch each and every one. Bless them, Lord. I pray a blessing upon them. I pray, Lord God, that you will minister to them, Lord, whatever they're going through, whatever they've been through, whatever is happening in their life. And Lord, I pray that you'll minister in a very special way to them this day. And Lord, I thank you for your word that you give to us. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless it. Help us, Lord, we pray as we leave this place. Father, I pray that you'll bless our picnic. Bless our fellowship, Lord. Father, I thank you and I praise you for it. I thank you for the time that we can get together, Lord, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord God, we thank you for all that you do and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And amen. Bless you. Have a great day. What am I doing? Oh, yes. We want to pray for the mission team. See, it didn't take long till it happens that way when you get old. Jack wouldn't know. Take it from me, Jack. It does. They leave on Thursday. And what are you going to be doing, Bill? Nothing? Okay. Steve, we'll go to you. What are you going to be doing? Ash? She's helping Bill. Nothing. We'll be putting a pump in. A well pump. What, 300 feet down or? Oh, 80 feet. All right then. This little guy's going too. All right. If some of you want to come forward and lay your hands upon these ones or stretch out your hand towards them, that'd be great. Father, we come to you at this time, and Lord, I pray for our missions team. Lord, as we are gathered in this place, and Father, the call that you have put upon their life to go and to do this work, I thank you for it. But Lord, we pray that you'll go before them. We pray that you'll help them. And Father, pray especially that you will protect them. Lord, I ask right now that you would help them, Lord God, when they leave this church on Thursday and they go to the airport and, Father, on to Ethiopia. Father, I pray that you will just wrap your arms around them and bless them and minister to them. And, Lord, protect them. Let everything go smoothly, Lord. God, we pray, let there be no problems, Lord, I ask. And Father, I pray that, Lord God, when there's any evil that will come around, they will see the angels of God around these ones, we pray. And Father, we will thank you and we will glorify you for it. We pray, Lord God, that you will give them the strength that they need. We pray, Lord God, that you'll help them to do the work that needs to be done, Lord. And I ask right now, Father, as we pray the prayer of faith, that you will just help them, Lord God, to do the work of the Lord. Lord, give them the word right now. Give them anointing right now as they go there into that place that people will see Jesus upon them, we pray. Father, we love you and we thank you and we glorify you what you're going to do. We praise you for it. And Lord God, I praise you and thank you that you're going before them. In Jesus, we pray it all. Amen and amen. Thank you.